Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to The Toast, the final episode of the year. Hey, Jax. How you doing?
I'm doing great because we're together and yes. The brethren are here and it's all hands on deck for the last show of the year.
I think it was Janet Jackson who once said, I know we'll be together again because everywhere I go, every smile I see, I know you are there. Marshall Anthony. That's how me and Brian sing it because Brian's dog's name is Marshall. And I don't know why we call him Marshall Anthony, but
that's so cute.
We put his name. It's like literally, actually, Brian does what you do. Like, stride. He puts Marshall Anthony in everything.
I love that for him.
Yeah, I bet now he'll do Dean Kelly Anthony. Even though Anthony's not his middle or last name. It's just, I actually don't know why Brian is obsessed with the name Anthony. He puts Anthony in everything.
That's like Joey Camasta puts Marie.
Yeah, yeah. Is it Marie or Trish?
No, I think it's two separate things. Okay. But like, he gives everyone the middle name Marie.
That's funny. So yeah, you heard it right. Final episode of the year. I had to come down for it. Let's take a look at the year at a glance, shall we?
At a glance. We shall. And I just want to say, because it's the final episode of the year, I'm wearing this sweater that I've actually had for a while and I completely forgot about, or else I would have worn it mm-hmm. on the day that she passed. But it's this fabulous libertine sweater. So if you don't like it, blame libertine, not me, with images of the queen.
And I thought that you were coming in here because you have watched Harry and Meghan. I have not because I had the longest day. And I'm like, not Jackie making a statement.
No, I didn't think we were talking about Harry and Meghan today because you didn't watch. So then I thought we would talk about it together. But you're like, you know what? I don't know when I'm going to watch. Why don't you just like recap your thoughts on the show? If I knew I was talking about Harry and Meghan today, I would not have worn the sweater because like imagine just watching like a clip of whatever my thoughts are on Harry and Meghan. It's like, where does she stand?
Yeah, no. And it's like, I wonder if this girl's on Team Royal or Team Harry and Meghan.
Is this girl biased?
So I didn't have time to watch it. Obviously, I was on the plane yesterday. And I've been seeing so much coming out of it. And like, I actually really enjoyed parts 1, 2, and 3.
Claudia, that,
like,
keep the magic intact.
I know. I'm like, I'm seeing so much. And it's like, I feel like it's really going to upset me. And I think I'm just going to stay where I'm at.
It was so bad as far as reasons why they left. We have some reasons. I don't feel like we have the reason. Mm-hmm. A lot of it didn't make sense to me. There was like so much propaganda and just like confusing stuff and like just like big buzzwords, uh-huh. you know, like misinformation is a global humanitarian crisis. That's literally what Harry said.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, totally.
So I'll talk about my thoughts, but anyways, the sweater is an aside. And actually, Snitch picked it out. She came to my closet this morning because I was asking her what to wear, and she saw the sweater. She's like, "Why don't you wear that?" And I was like, "Why don't I wear that?" Because 2022 for me was the year of the queen.
2022 for me was the year of the toast. I feel like this was such like not to
the
make
same.
Not to make
similar
everything about us. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, this was a really important year for us. I feel like it was a very transitional year.
Yes. The Flamingos joined us.
Jackie and I were actually invited on this Power Women Summit to talk about like the business of podcasting. And it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. It's like a lot of like business podcasting stuff. And we talked a lot about our rebrand and more importantly, like your move. And I thought that this was going to be the year that like the toast like didn't end, but
it was the slow march to the end.
Yeah. Like the official beginning of the end.
Yeah.
But I supported you in your decision, of course, to move. And this move has just been so revitalizing mm-hmm. for our brand,
it's
for the
like
podcast.
Lars's party, new beginnings.
New beginnings. And I just feel like this was a really good year for the toast. I feel like we got so many new toasters. We blew up on TikTok. I mean, what more can you ask for than blowing up on TikTok? I lost weight. I mean, oh my God. Like, what more could you ask for?
I had a baby.
Oh, right.
That's great. I moved. Yeah, you would have thought that this year would have been like, we're working on some other stuff, so the toast like kind of would have taken a back seat, but no.
So I made the journey down. I'm so happy to be here. I slept amazing last night. Woke up literally, you cannot pull me out of bed in New York. Like, I will take a full hour before getting out of bed. I hopped out of bed. I'm like, Harry's awake. And my room is right next to his.
Yeah, but that's the thing about motherhood. Like, even though I used to hate waking up, like, couldn't catch me doing it. I would always be tired, like, no matter what time I woke up, always miserable. Like, now when I wake up, I'm tired. I, like, pee and brush my teeth, like, with my eyes closed. And then once I get into his room, like, I'm up. And it's a pleasant experience.
He's so fucking gorgeous. Like, I just love living with him. I said, I'm like, Jackie, I think it would be kind of cool of you. And it's actually kind of not cool that you haven't. I think, like, obviously, I talk about a lot. Like, having kids is definitely something I want to do.
In theory.
But, like, the act of doing it is just so not on, like, my list of things that I want to do. Like, I would like the child to be here. Mm-hmm. And there's literally a child downstairs. And I just think the fact that you haven't even offered to, like, I don't know, maybe we could do joint custody. Like, I think it's kind of rude.
He could be your ward.
Because, like, you're going to have more kids. And I feel like you don't, like, hate the idea of being pregnant. Like, you should do that.
No, but it's, like, not fair. Of course, like, I've just accepted it, but it's not fair. Like, you get to be on your snatchler journey.
Right.
And
you're my surrogate.
No.
Yes.
I'm nice. I'm a good sister. I'm not that good.
I know. Actually, I was reading this book, and this guy, I won't say the book, but, like, they're in love, and she has a lot of fertility issues, and, like, he really wants to have kids, and so she literally can't, and so she, like, leaves him, and it's so painful, and he comes back with this whole plan, and he said, my sister, actually, she offered to be a surrogate, and I was like, oh, man, couldn't be me.
That would literally never be you.
I mean, actually, let's be real.
Let's be real. Never. You don't even want to do it for yourself.
No, for sure, but let's say, like, years from now, I've done it for myself, and, like, somebody in the family, like, needs a surrogate, like, I would do it. I would do anything for my family.
Years from now, my stuff is done.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, like, hopefully nobody asks, but
yeah, no, I would be open to it.
Yeah,
at that time.
So, oh my God, we haven't even spoken about how it's our final episode of the year. We're looking at the toast at a glance, and we're ending the year with such a sickening guest, someone who we've spoke so highly of on this show and
over the years, we've never wavered.
We've been talking about her a lot with her new reality show. Olivia Culpo joined us. She will be joining this. If you're listening as a podcast, just keep listening. It'll be at the end of the episode. If you're watching on YouTube, Olivia joined us via satellite as well. So there's another video on our channel right after this one with the Olivia interview, and she looks so stunning.
It's just Jackson, Claude, and Olivia. Like, nothing new there.
No, and we spoke about Snitch the whole time, so we had all four sisters represented.
Yeah, we'd love a sister who works with and respects other sisters.
It was a really good interview, so be sure to check that out. And we're just going out on a high. And I know everyone's sad, the toast is over, what am I gonna do? And that's why Patreon exists. I can't stress that point enough.
Yeah, I actually am filming a vlog today with the Snatchler because she's doing her Snatchler thing and gonna steal all of my clothes. Like, we're gonna go through my closet and give her stuff that's just, like, too young for me and that I probably won't ever wear again, like, in this new phase of my life. Right. And you guys can come along and watch me get pillaged by the Snatchler.
Pillaged, and then one of my favorite things to do is, like, Margaret's like, oh, I got some new clothes. Can I try them on for you?
Oh, yeah. And then there will be a try on.
Watching, like, a young person with a near perfect body just try on clothing is such a delight. You would think, like, it would make me, like, what's the word I'm looking for? You think watching Margot try on clothes would, like, make me depressed and, like, hate myself. But it's actually, like, the funnest thing.
I agree.
It's just, like, she's really, like, a fit model.
Yeah, no, it's also fun because, like, you love the Snatcher and it's exciting when people you love, like, try on clothes that you love.
Yeah, but it's more so, like, from an aesthetic POV. Like, she's so perfect.
Snatcher, she's just in the other room. We should go get her.
Snatcher. Also, speaking of perfect, yesterday we announced our collab with Spritz Society, our toast holiday pack, which is a variety pack, 2 grapefruit cans, 2 blood orange cans, 2 pineapple cans, 2 lemon cans in a toasty package with a toasty poem, is available at spritzsociety.com. I know a bunch of you got them yesterday. I'm so glad to hear that, but just wanted to remind you, if you go to spritzsociety.com, the toast holiday packs are available. They make a great gift for someone, and it's a buy more, save more event. So if you get 2 packs, you get free shipping and 10% off. If you get 3 or more packs, you still get that free shipping, but you guys are getting 25% off. So for the toaster in your life, that's a great gift. You don't even have to wrap it because it's already wrapped.
With a little bow and everything. And it has all the content that you need to get through the holidays, a playlist that you can scan on the bottom, a little poem by the Streis Brethren.
Oh, and by the way, we didn't even acknowledge. We're like looking at our monitor in front of us. There's like 400 people in this tiny little frame because Bryce, Streis, Jax, and Letourneur are here. And there's really no better way to send off into the holiday season and wrap up it. And what has otherwise been an amazing year?
Yeah, it's been strong. It's been good. I'm ready for 23, ready to take it on.
Yeah.
But I want to sit in 22 and appreciate the good times.
We had asked Olivia Culpo this, and I think we should ask ourselves the same question. What are we toasting to in the new year? What are some things we want to bring into the new year? Olivia had a great answer.
What was hers again?
Well, I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, okay. What was it?
But remember, I was like, couldn't be me.
Oh, right. That's what we say every year. 2023.
I'm pretty happy where I'm at, honestly.
I know, me too.
I know, like, that's the thing about resolutions. It's like, if you work on yourself all year long, which I try to, what's a resolution?
Like, more of the same?
I guess the resolution should be, like, to continue to work on myself.
Yeah, to continue the good work that you're doing.
100%.
Yeah.
Go viral on TikTok more.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. 100%.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe like visiting your sister even more, even though you visit her so much. It's just so fun when you're here.
I feel like I visit you so much. Like I think,
but in the time that I've moved, I visited you equal amounts that you have visited me.
But it's like different because when I visit you, I live with you, you know?
I know, but it's easier for, one, it's easier. Like you don't have to like get a hotel.
No, that's true.
You're in a house with everything here.
You coming to New York, hotel, Harry, it's horrible. Insane.
So the fact that I visited you as much.
No, it's true.
You should be visiting me more. And I'm not like trying to put pressure. I just love having you.
I love being here.
Come more.
I feel like I come as much as I can. Especially given like this, that the latter half of the year was the busiest 6 months of my life. Like between Toast and tour and just work in general, I feel like I made as much time as possible. And now like in the new year, I've pretty much got nothing going on except Toast. And I can do that even better from here. I'll definitely be here quite a lot. Now that there's three nieces and nephews.
And it's the winter, so it's the best time to be here and not there.
That's true.
So I feel like that's the resolution. Spend as much time together as we can.
Works for me.
Great.
And we've got a great show. I'm doing stories again.
I'm doing ads again.
We're going to talk, we'll recap a little bit of Harry and Meghan, because honestly, like I said, I don't know if I have the stomach for it.
And
you already watched it.
I don't think that you should. I think you should stay where you are with like how much you like them.
This is like blissful ignorance over here.
Yeah, there's like positives and negatives to my overall thoughts about them. Like, and the positives are still that like their relationship is rock solid. Yeah. And these two people, and I feel like a lot of people are like, well, if you didn't want to be a princess, you shouldn't have married a prince. And
it's like, you love.
They were never not getting, like they are meant to be together. So they had to figure out a way to be together. I'll talk about all of it in the...
And we have a story about
story.
It. Okay, yeah. Great. We've got some good stories. Oh my God, excuse me. I'm getting sick. My body's shutting down because it's like, please don't end the toast.
You want to go eat more?
My body's like, oh my God, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and we're not going to toast.
Because
my
body's, Saturday.
Shut up. My body is protesting.
Your body's just a workaholic.
Speaking of protests, I don't know how that's a segue, but I did make it to season 5 last night of Yellowstone. So I'm officially like caught up.
Oh,
like,
cool. So you can watch this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And in the new year, we'll have a great big recap. Then you should watch 1883.
I plan on it.
I need to finish 1883 so then I can watch 1923.
And then you said, what did you tell me last night?
That the sixes.
Oh, this is crazy.
Because I remember she said she really loved Jimmy, even though to me he's like so irrelevant, whatever. And I was like, oh, so season 5, Jimmy went to the sixes. She was like, yeah. And I was like, it's going to be a show. And she was like, huh.
So the sixes is their own show. And I like that.
Yeah. So that's what they were doing there.
And I just realized that horse wrangler guy, Travis, is Taylor
Sheridan.
Mm-hmm. Cute. Because I'm like, this guy looks so like familiar. And I just Googled him and it was like, his name is Taylor Sheridan. I'm like, oh my God. Love that.
From the commercials. Like he's always in, you don't watch with commercials, but he's always in the commercials like talking about Yellowstone.
Oh. I'm like, he does commercials? How did he get this job? So it's been a really fun journey. And so is this year. And I think there's no time like the present, honestly, to just DRI.
To get right into it.
To DRI. Dive right in.
To the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you finish out your year.
Tier.
But. McClurdial, Letourneur.
Yes.
Before you dive into these wonderful stories that you've selected.
Yes.
I need to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Bare Necessities. Okay. You guys, think about the favorite bra you have right now.
My bra.
It's bare necessities. What's so great about it? Chances are it's not anything the bra does. It's more the things it doesn't do. Have weird gaps, show through your t-shirts, oof to me, because that used to happen to me. Dig into your shoulders. Same thing with panties. You reach for the ones that don't ride up and don't give you a panty line. Your bra and underwear should make your outfit better, not worse. That's what's so great about Bare Necessities. It's one of the biggest online intimate apparel retailers, offering over 140 of the best brands all in one place. They put fit and comfort above all else, so they're all about size inclusivity. Their band sizes go from 28 to 58. Their cup sizes go to AA to O. They go from extra small to 5XL. So with so many options, finding the right bra isn't always intuitive. So they offer a bra fit finder quiz.
Love.
Right? Because which one of those sizes are you? The fit finder quiz will tell you. Points you in the right direction in just a few quicks and clicks.
Whew.
We love Bare Necessities. You know what? There are some things in life that you can really take our recommendation on, and bras and undies are that.
This bra that I'm currently wearing is from Bare Necessities, and it is amazing.
It's my new, like, under sweater bra, because I don't like when my, I don't need to get so descriptive,
yeah.
But like, I just like a tighter look.
Yeah.
Right now, get 20% off Bare Necessities when you go to barenecessities.com/toast20 and use code toast20. That's toast20 at barenecessities.com/toast20 to get 20% off. barenecessities.com/toast20 and use code toast20. Some exclusions apply.
MISSISSIPPI.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm in the spelling bee.
You're literally Aquila.
You're Aquila. Oh my God. Speaking of the bee, today's episode is also brought to you by Beekeepers. Beekeepers Naturals has amazing products to help you in your immune support and just overall wellness.
It's that time of year, you guys. Like,
it's that time of year to get the Propolis Immune Support Throat Spray. Honestly, I started my cold. You guys actually saw the evolution of my cold this week and how it crept up on me. And it went away just as quickly as it came. It never really materialized into anything big and bad. And that's because I use Beekeepers Natural to keep my immunity in check. They use propolis, which is made by bees and backed by science. They are also made with clean ingredients, and they're on a mission to save the bees. Bees are crucial to our planet's health. About 1/3 of our food supply would be lost if the bees disappear. That's why Beekeepers Natural is committed to sustainable beekeeping and pesticide-free products. That is so sweet. Just as for the bees.
It was another great day of Beekeepers Natural.
Today, Beekeepers Natural is offering you an exclusive offer. Go to beekeepersnatural.com/toast or enter code toast to get 25% off your first order. That's BEEKEEPERSNATURALS.com/toast or enter code toast. Beekeepers Naturals products are also available at Target, Whole Foods, CVS, and Walgreens, so you can start feeling better every day today.
That propolis throat spray is no joke. I'm like so prone to strep throat. I have the biggest tonsils. I really need to get them taken out. And it really will make a difference in how you feel and how you recover.
So much of, what's that word, that saying? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And this season, especially with everything going on right now, you want to keep your immune system strong. And Beekeepers Natural, those bees are here for you.
Okay, wait. I had something I wanted to tell you, and I was going to tell you before the toast, but I needed to shame you publicly. I am shocked beyond belief at the state of your studio. You're such a clean person.
There's a lot that goes on in here.
No, I know. I have a studio
in a
as well.
Small space.
I mean, have you heard of a trash bin?
It's hard. It's in the other room.
I'm just...
Everything serves a purpose.
No, I'm sure of that. But I was just genuinely shocked walking in this room.
And that tissue with lipstick is yours, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, that's the only thing that looks like outright garbage.
Not that big...
Pile of ads?
No, pile of... What is that?
Those
Christmas
are holiday
lights
from my... Like, these are my work supplies.
What holiday lights do you need?
When I did my holiday toast shoot. Everything serves a purpose. If you want to shame me, you want to work, shame me. Sorry that my studio isn't as big as yours.
I was shocked. I'm sorry.
I was shocked.
I was in tears almost.
I'm a hardworking queen. What can I say?
So our first story of the day is... The video that everyone's talking about is Kourtney Kardashian and Khloe Kardashian sat down for this Vanity Fair interview, and it was full of interesting information. I actually took notes on a few things that shocked me, but it also came out around this time that Dumois released this blind about two sisters from an iconic family who are not speaking. Mm-hmm. So this video just like spiraled people into thinking about what's going on. But the story that everyone's talking about, the moment from this Vanity Fair interview, is that Khloe Kardashian will not let her daughter True sleep at her sister Kourtney's house. So Kourtney Kardashian's house is off limits when it comes to sleepovers for Khloe Kardashian's daughter True. The Good American founder revealed during Thursday's episode of Vanity Fair's popular lie detector test web series that she will never let her four-year-old daughter spend the night at the Kardashian-Barker household. The Pooch founder asked, "Are you ever going to let True sleep over at my house?" And Khloe responded, "Probably not." Kourtney replied by asking if it was because they have too much fun over there. And Khloe said, "No, I don't think we have enough time on this show for what the reason is."
But then there was another interview where she said something like about True being too young for sleepovers, which I get.
Sleepovers at your sister's house? Like,
I don't know. She has like older kids. Like, she might not be able to keep up with them.
Well, no, I think.
And it's like a rite of passage to have your first sleepover. I don't think True is there yet. But there's something beyond that because she said she would never allow.
So I had two thoughts. The first was like maybe Khloe from her own childhood has like sleepover trauma. Like some people really didn't like sleepovers. They had bad experiences. And like maybe she doesn't want to pass that on to True. Or, and we've spoken about this a lot, and I feel like the Kardashians have spoken about it too, a lot of the girls having like just fundamental issues with the way Kourtney parents, and like maybe they just don't.
I don't know how much could happen in one night.
I know.
But.
And they have staff around.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But I also, I had written down.
I think it's two things. I think like if True could go on any sleepover in the world, like Khloe wouldn't send her to Kourtney's for whatever reason. Maybe she doesn't like the snacks that she has, as a bunch of stuff. And two, I think Khloe is like anti-sleepover in general.
Yeah, I mean like if it's like, when I kind of feel children, like they will sleep at your house like all the time so I can just sleep in. Like
that's totally to me, fine.
Like your house, Olivia's house, Margaret's house, that's not a sleepover. No. A sleepover is with, you know, strangers.
Yeah, I agree. And when it comes to strangers, like they can all sleep here.
Oh, by the way, I agree.
Like, they can all sleep here. I'll get some bunk beds,
I used
some
to blow up mattresses. Going to sleepovers, like, yeah. And I couldn't imagine, like I know there were friends of mine who like weren't allowed. And I was like, oh my God, that sucks. But now I'm like, no, like crazy. I actually saw this woman on TikTok who investigates, she's a police detective, like children's crimes. And she was like, here are things I will never do as a mom, as a police detective who's been investigating children's crimes. And she was like, I will never let my kids have a sleepover. I thought it was really interesting.
Okay. And maybe maybe Khloe saw that TikTok.
Maybe.
And she's just taking it really seriously.
Some other takeaways I had from this video. The first was that I had literally no idea Khloe's middle name was Alexandra. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
No.
The other thing that I found interesting is that Kourtney watches Yellowstone.
Yes.
And that Khloe did not like
her dress.
Kourtney's wedding dress, which like, I appreciated her honesty, but it's also then like I kind of respect her decision more because like for me, like I will literally not pick a dress for the opening of an envelope without sending a picture to you guys and being like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And Kourtney was like so into it that like even if her sister said they didn't like it, like she still moved forward with it. So at least she felt pretty.
Yeah. Apparently they're like critical of her style right now. I feel like her style is pretty like mellow.
Fine.
It's like she got really a Travis-y, but now she's like found a blend of like.
Yeah.
You know, being like rocker.
Even when it was really Travis-y, it wasn't that bad. It's just like, it's not my personal style. It's just like more edgy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the problem is with that.
No, me neither. I thought the video was really cute. I like seeing the sisters do sister things. I don't know why they did it. Like, what are they promoting?
Khloe was definitely out here promoting Nurtec OTD, the over-the-counter, I know the prescription migraine medication commercials that she's on because the YouTube video stopped four times with the Nurtec OTD commercial before, during, and after.
I should ask my doctor about it.
You should.
And get the tea on Nurtec OTD.
I don't know why they did it either. And I was curious if anyone felt like this just kind of like weird vibe. Like Khloe's usually very, I don't know. She felt like she was feeling like defensive and like a little standoffish.
No, it was just like Khloe's usually like very warm. And I felt like it was a little stilted.
Yeah. What's the opposite of warm? Cold?
Yes, that's the opposite.
That's like the vibe. I feel like she wasn't being like classic Khloe, like how she would with like Chris or Kim.
Yeah, because I think that's just her and Kourtney's relationship right now. But I think that they are fine. And honestly, if they really had a problem, they would not be doing this video. And I thought it was fun that they were able to laugh at themselves. I thought that they actually asked some like real questions, not just like stupid stuff.
Yeah. But then speaking of what you just said, this is the blind item that went viral. And I feel like it's, if we learned anything last week from like the Ariel Charnas drama, is like, just take anonymous gossip on the surface. Like, it's not that deep.
If at all.
But the Dumois blind was two sisters of this iconic family are not even in contact with each other anymore. You may see them in pictures, but it's purely for show. A reconciliation is highly unlikely. The older one has basically confirmed the falling out as well.
it makes you think that it's Courtney and
Kim.
Kim, yeah.
Yeah.
Just because they've always, they, I just feel like they are very different.
They're so different.
And I haven't seen them together in a while, but we also haven't seen them all together. I guess since Thanksgiving, they were all together.
No, and they did just have this Kardashian Brands like holiday dinner. Did you see? Like the Good American teams, the skin.
I saw a little bit.
Yeah, but I didn't see who like of all was there.
Yeah. But then other people were saying it could be Kathy Hilton and
Kyle.
But like, but something about that didn't feel like it.
I wouldn't call it iconic family.
Iconic with two Ks.
Oh, duh. I was like, why did the person spell it like that? I'm not okay.
They need to go to the spelling bee.
Literally, Aquila. Somebody get Aquila. No, it's definitely not. It ha- Okay, by the way, I didn't even think about the K thing. It's obviously about the Kardashians, but that still doesn't mean that it's true.
Right.
But I could see it being Kim and Courtney.
But I do feel like Courtney, I feel like it could be Kim and Courtney, like, because I feel like Courtney would get really defensive of like child exploitation and be like upset with Kim that she didn't take a harder stance.
Oh my God, you're so right. Also, I don't know if you saw, but Alexa Demi officially like
broke. I saw. What was that, 2 months?
Yeah, good took job. A long time. Took a long time.
I don't know her, so I don't, like, I don't follow her. Mm-hmm. It's not on me to like hold her accountable because yeah. I never held her anywhere else.
No, by the way, you're so right. I could definitely see that being like a thing.
That was just the only thought I had.
Because you know what? Say what you want about Courtney, but like she is scrupled.
Oh, beyond.
Like a little too scrupled.
No, and it's just like random some of the like hills she'll die on. But yeah. Okay, this isn't a one worth pursuing.
Oh my God, you're 100% right.
I don't know. That's just the, like, that's my theory.
Working theory.
My working theory. But I'm not saying that that's what it is.
Our next story is the Prince Harry and Meghan of it all. One of the pieces that they spoke about that's really gone viral is Harry being pictured in stunned silence as his brother William's text following the explosive Oprah interview. So a stunned Prince Harry was filmed holding an apparently grim text message from an older brother, Prince William, whom Harry portrayed as a screaming bully who forced him out of the family. Okay. The final episode of Harry and Meghan caught the explosive aftermath of Harry's damning 2021 Oprah Winfrey interview, after which the heir to the throne, William, told a reporter, "I haven't spoken to him yet, but I will do." The Netflix cameras were rolling when William sent that text message while Meghan Markle was on the phone with celebrity pal Tyler Perry. While Markle finished reading out the response of Queen Elizabeth II to their Winfrey interview, the camera cut to her husband standing over her, wordlessly holding out his phone for her to read. "What am I looking at?" she asked, and seconds later gasped, "Wow." "He just got a text from his brother," she explains to Tyler Perry, before hugging her overwhelmed husband who laments, "I wish I knew what to do." The docuseries did not detail what was in the text. William was the focus of many of Harry's most explosive allegations of mistreatment in the final three episodes. The acrimony started with William apparently breaking a pact not to let their teams trade negative press stories about each other, which Harry called heartbreaking.
Okay, let me get into it because I felt like the whole storyline was fraught with contradictions and missing pieces. So the big question that I've always had is like, what was so bad that they had to leave? Why did they leave and why did they do it the way that they did it? So the documentary pretty much says this. There was a period of time before they left, and it was a period where Meghan was pregnant. They were on a tour. It was a lot of work, and the media had started being, it was weird. It was contradictory. The media was like really hard on her, but at the same time, they were saying that Meghan was so beloved on the tour. It was like giving Diana. They had this event at Buckingham Palace. The whole family was there. Meghan and Harry even slept over at the palace that night. They were having breakfast together the next morning, just the two of them. And the paper comes out and Meghan's on the cover. Like, she shined the brightest out of everyone. And
yikes.
Like, and they were like, and so, you know, that the family doesn't like that. Mm. So it's like, is it the media doesn't like, the media's too hard on you, but they put you on the cover. You're the darling of the media.
Right.
Like, which one is it? And I also felt like at any given time, you could find in on any day positive headlines about Meghan and Harry and negative headlines about Meghan and Harry. And on the same like day, you could find positive man on the street interviews about Meghan and Harry, negative. You could find positive reporters talking about them. And they just like kept inserting clips and headlines to like fit whatever they were saying at the time. And it just felt like there was always so much positive and so much negative that it's like, it was hard to tell what was what. Anyway, so the media was like really, really hard on her. And when she's pregnant, she became extremely depressed. And so I think it was a combination of things based on what they said. A lot of things they spoke very vaguely about, but I think it was like the media scrutiny, the job itself. When they were living at their first cottage, it was like small. Like, it was not fabulous.
Palace.
Like, the ceilings were like this high. She said Oprah came for tea and she was like, if people only knew.
Dead.
Like,
that's actually funny.
Very unfabulous, I think. And it caused, and then all the stuff like that was going on in the media with her dad. Mm-hmm. And then she said she was doing one of her walkabouts and one of the women was like, it's terrible the way you're treating your dad. Ooh. And then that made her realize like, oh, people are really believing some of this stuff. So it sent her like into a very deep depression. Then she gave birth to Archie and they didn't do the royal birth protocol the same way that it's been done in the past. I don't think that she said at no point did anyone say like, you can't do it this way. But I guess maybe like the media felt a little burned that they didn't get those steps pictures.
I mean, those steps pictures are fucking insane.
I know, but I feel like, I mean, they did have like Princess Anne, was it? Or maybe it was Margaret. Like, so someone who's not in direct line on the steps. But other than that, it's Diana, it's Kate, and it's Queenie herself. Like, it's not people.
Right, spare.
Yeah, like, they can do it from the throne room 2 days later.
Right.
That's fine by me. Anyways, they, at the end of 2019, they went to Vancouver to, like, take a break because, like, Meghan needed a break. And already.
Is it after Archie's born?
After Archie, yeah. Archie must be 6 months at this point because he's born in May. And already, like, the house is being swarmed and there's people, like, it's an island and there's, like, boats outside and it's, like, crazy madness. So Harry says, like, they want to, for years they've been talking about moving outside of the UK, being, like, half in, half out. Mm-hmm. There was a plan for them to move to New Zealand that never took off. There was a plan for them to move to South Africa, but then it got leaked. And once things get leaked, like, it's never going to go through. So they wanted to move to Canada.
Which is still in the Commonwealth.
And they still want to work for the Queen. So he writes a letter to his dad, like, saying, we want to move to Canada. Like, this is our plan. If it doesn't work, we will relinquish our titles.
Okay.
And then that letter gets leaked. And it's like, so that, I think that was the first, I'm trying to like also follow it in the way that I remember it. That was like the first thing of like Meghan and Harry are stepping down mm-hmm. from the family. They're half in, half out. So then they go to the UK. They have this meeting with the Queen and everyone. I think only Harry was there. And they offered five options. One option being like, everything stays as it is. Like, you stay in the family. Five being like, you have nothing.
So like a spectrum.
A spectrum. And he chose number three.
Oh,
so
smart.
Somewhere in the middle. Then after that meeting, there was a report in the press that the brothers, that William had bullied Harry out of the family. Mm. And up until, in the documentary, they never mention anything about William and Kate, their treatment in the family, and that being a reason why Meghan was like so unhappy and why they had to leave, ever, not once. So I'm here sitting here being like, oh, so that report is like very untrue.
Right.
And the royal family is like in a tailspin right now. Like, two members are like leaving. There's a report that the brothers are fighting. So they immediately issue a statement from their joint office without consulting Harry, saying these reports are untrue. Like, there's no bad blood between mm-hmm. the brothers. And that's when Harry says, wow, they were willing to lie for William, but they never were willing to tell the truth to protect us. So it's like, I understand that frustration. It's like all this time with all the stories about Thomas, like Meghan could never say anything. They mm-hmm. could never tell their
right.
truth.
No, that's frustrating.
But in 5 seconds, they'll put out this quote unquote lie to protect William. But that's
but not, it's not to protect William, it's to protect everyone.
It's protect everyone. Like, they're in free fall right now. And according to what I've been watching this whole time, William was never, William didn't bully you out of the family. You've never spoken about him.
You know what?
So if the reason why you guys were so unhappy, if part of that had to do with like William and Kate's treatment and you're sitting down to do a documentary, like, say it. Because right. then don't say that them putting out that statement was a lie, because I'm sitting here saying, where's the lie?
No, the only thing they said even in the first part is like the first time they met, it was like a little formal.
Yes.
That's all they said.
It. So then after they put out that statement, like Meghan and Harry were flabbergasted that they would run so quickly to William's defense.
It's a kind of an overreaction.
And they went AWOL. Like, they...
Oh, that was it? Like, that's like, what sent them over the edge?
And that was what sent them over the edge. And they said, we're leaving the family. They, you know, they were in Canada. They're packing up their things.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when they were in it and, like, they had a baby and they were, like, very anxious and she was dealing with, you know, mental health. Like, I feel like perhaps they, not overreacted, but, like... maybe overreacted. And like, now they're like trying to justify. But like now when you look back in hindsight, you think like, oh, was it that bad? But like when you're in it, it's like, oh my God, we have to get out of this situation.
Right. Because you never, like, I think for Harry and everything really is, I think Harry's
doing,
because he's the only one really who has the, like he's the only one who could make these decisions. Like mm-hmm. I think he would never have done it without Meghan. Like she showed him that he could do it, but it really kind of now looking back, like feels like he always had one foot out the door. And I never realized like how much trauma he has
from his childhood.
Mom. Everything comes from Diana. Like, yeah, really. And I think with everything, every day with Meghan and everything that happens to her, he just sees it through the lens of like how it can end up like Diana. And so he, when he sees like something's like going badly and Meghan's not doing well, he's like, I'm removing my family from this.
No, and you know what? Meghan not like, doing well.
Like, you know, I'm sure a psychiatrist would diagnose it, but he's trying to be the person that like his mom
he wishes his mom had.
Yes.
No, and honestly, Meghan's mental health and like her depression, and I know she had suicidal thoughts, like that's reason enough. Like they should have left.
Yeah.
But I don't know why on the way out and now even they feel the need to burn everything to the ground.
So here's the thing. So they left, remember, and I feel like everyone was pretty, I mean, obviously there's always people who are not, but on the whole, pretty respectful. I feel the queen was still like, they're doing what's best for them. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that, you know, everyone, the family behind their door, behind closed doors were pissed, but like everyone was still acting right. And like, this is a okay, happy family thing. Things went south at the Oprah interview.
Yeah,
that's
of course
what changed everything. And they spoke about it a little bit, but I think, and I think that they I think they have regret.
Mm.
Also, the Oprah interview talked about a lot of things, and Meghan said, she was like, I thought the big takeaway from the Oprah interview would be like my mental health
struggles. Right, no, it wasn't.
It was the race.
Yeah.
And then in this documentary, they didn't mention that comment again. Oh. They didn't mention like any racist actions or
from the family.
Feelings from the family. Like there was nothing about the family. So
except
it's kind
for the brooch, but that was an irrelevant
from
outlay.
The family.
Yeah, the core.
Yeah. So it kind of was telling a different story than the Oprah interview. And it kind of felt like they were backtracking a little bit.
Mm.
I think that the Oprah interview, like that severed things. And that's when William sent that text.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I think that if they had just left and did what was best for themselves and their family and their mental health, which at that point, like I understand.
Of course.
Because they were being like swarmed. And
it's just not easy and you have a new baby and you're so anxious.
Also, it's like, if we're never going to sit on the throne, then for what?
What are we working for?
What for what?
I agree.
Like I get it now. And the Oprah interview changed everything.
Yeah, of course. And I just feel like this story is actually really emblematic. This New York Post story I just read is very emblematic of like their vibe. It's like throwing out like a grenade, like look at this text and then not telling us what it is. So it's like, we have to imagine. I just feel like they're kind of always like saying big things and not backing it up. Like even again, you watch this whole 6-part documentary and you are not entirely sure what the reason was that they left.
Yes. Also a big reason of why they left was this suit with the Daily Mail. So
yes,
the Daily Mail printed a letter that Meghan wrote to Thomas Markle at the advice of the Queen and Prince Charles. Like she went to the Queen, like, what should I do? Everyone said, write him a letter. She wrote him a letter. She sent it to her agent in LA, made sure the agent got it to him, and he sent gave it to the press.
Of course
she said that the signature on delivery was not Thomas's signature, so it was obviously someone else. And then the Daily Mail published a letter. A lot of it is redacted. And they showed us one redacted line, and it's just, I wish for nothing but peace and for you to be well.
No, like, I'm sure
I
love it was you. So, a like, nice letter.
It was a nice letter.
But it's such an invasion of privacy.
I would love to have seen all the other redactions, but they're saying like anything that they redacted was things that would have made Meghan look better. Anyways, you're not allowed to publish a letter like that. So Meghan sued.
Good.
But for a while, she went to the lawyer at within the palace, and she was like, we're going to sue. And they were like, great. And like, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they went and sought outside counsel and they sued. And I think they said it too. Like that was the first time that they stepped outside the bounds of the firm.
Right.
Like once you're starting to get your own lawyers, like then what about in our own house?
No,
like,
totally, totally.
So she never had support in her suit. The suit like went on for years. She eventually won and she won on appeal.
Did Camilla and Charles sue the publication that ran that phone call of theirs? Because to me, that's where my mind goes. And it sounds like her letter made her look good. It's still an invasion of privacy.
I don't think that they did. And that's what everyone said. It's like,
well, we didn't even sue when this happened.
We don't. Yeah, we didn't. We don't because this.
They have this relationship.
It's the relationship, but it's also this thinking that like, we pay for your life and this is the price that you pay us, which is like you open up your whole world to us. That's why we want to see your baby when it's born. That's the right that we have.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I think it's a little extreme. Like, I do think, you know, they're not like animals at the zoo.
No, and even public people whose lives are paid for by the tax are entitled to a modicum of privacy. Right. Like, I don't subscribe to that notion. And you know what? It's not my tax dollars, but if it was, I would say, you know what? I'll see your baby in 2 weeks. Go take a nap.
Yeah, totally. So I think it's become a little extreme, but I also think for centuries, the crown has had a relationship with the media.
Yeah.
But the media has never been as like
insane,
pervasive as it is now. You know, it used to be there was a newspaper and we have to fill the pages.
There was one.
Now it's like we have unlimited pages on our website. We have unlimited places for ads.
Unlimited publications.
As many stories. And then there's social media. And like, there's just, it never ends.
Yeah, no, it never ends.
So the contract like isn't working.
No, it's
in
not.
In the modern era.
No, and it doesn't make sense why they have this like toxic relationship.
Yeah.
With the British tabloids. And it's like, not even like, okay, you want to have like, okay, you and British Vogue, sure. But like, The Sun?
Yeah.
It's like so tacky.
Yeah. I do think that the family like should probably rethink, but I would love to hear from them.
Why?
Honestly,
what the value is.
I'm sure they've evaluated. I also would love to know how much of taxpayer money goes towards the royal family in a year and how much money the royal family brings in revenue in a year.
So they bring in more than they spend, which is why they're still around. Because if the country was like losing hundreds of millions of dollars every year, they bring in a shit ton of money. All the palaces, the tours, the tourism. I don't know the numbers exactly, but I do believe they're in the green.
That's great. So maybe since like, this is for them to decide, but I wonder why they don't go private. They say like, you keep your taxpayer money, we'll pay for our life, but we're also going to keep all the money that we bring in.
But then are they still royals?
Yeah, I think.
Then they're just like a rich family.
Yeah, then it like downgrades them one step further.
Right.
But I think they're still royals, but it's like, you don't worry, don't pay for us.
Right. I mean, they have a lot of money.
They have a lot of money and they bring in a lot of money. And then if they didn't have to like rely on the taxpayers, they could write books, right?
Yeah.
They could bring in more money.
Right. Then they're not like civil servants.
No, but they could still be civil servants, but then it's like it's like a charity.
No, but I think like the actual term civil servant means like a politician is a civil servant because his salary is paid for by taxpayers.
Yeah. Well, they could have a salary by, like, you know what I mean? I wonder what the argument is against that.
I just think they think
it's, in the comments, please.
They think it's like a step down.
Yes. And it would be like one step further towards the end of the
100%
monarchy. But like, this is not sustainable.
It ain't.
Yet William and Kate and Charles and Camilla like seem okay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, Charles like and Camilla like went through it.
No, I think
now
it's also
just, like, nobody cares.
It's a matter of hiding it better. I think the job is really hard no matter who you are.
Yeah.
And there are really fun parts of it and there are really horrible parts of it.
So it'll be really interesting when like George gets married.
Right. Right.
So I thought that it was confusing still. And I think the Oprah interview, while when it first came out,
was a bombshell.
Was a bombshell, and everybody, Beyonce texted her. I think it caused irreparable damage with the family. I don't know how much it changed hearts and minds. I think that they did it. She said they did it because of everything that had happened that year. And I think she meant more so about what everyone was saying about them that year. Like, they left the family. And so she wanted to, like, clear the air. But I think it just gave more air to, you know, if you want to go and be private and live your life, go for it. But it's uncouth to trash the whole family.
Agreed.
And the whole country and the whole system.
No, honestly, I don't think I'm going to watch it. And also, I feel like I just watched it.
And then they had this whole thing about like hate, the trolling and the hate that Meghan was getting. And it was so confusing. They had this agency that like evaluated 114,000 of the tweets about Meghan. Well, just a pool of tweets, 70% of them were hate tweets. And of that 70%, they were only coming from 80 accounts, like 80 troll accounts. And then they said that it's all like house, like white housewives, these 80 women. And one of them was Samantha Markle.
Dead.
And it's just like, okay, so out of all the hate that Meghan gets, like it's 80 people.
Fabulous.
But I didn't understand what point they were
trying to make. Why they're sharing that.
I think that that's good news.
Yeah.
And then you can like block those 80 accounts. And they were like troll bots.
Right, right,
like,
right.
Why is Meghan worried about bots? Like,
no, that's weird.
It was really, that there was like a whole section of that. It was really fucking weird.
That's
and it was like
weird.
This weird data agency that like polices like misinformation. I'm just like, the fuck is this?
No, that's beyond confusing. Well, thank you for your thoughts. I appreciate you. And let's move on to some Chrisley news.
Because they seem so happy.
Yeah.
And they just are home in Montecito with Meghan, Harry, Meghan's mom, and the kids, and the two kids and the two dogs.
Fabulous.
And it seems like that's all they've ever wanted. So
I hope they're happy.
It's the one you got.
Yeah, I hope they're happy.
It looks like just a peaceful,
idyllic
family life.
Stunning.
So I guess that's that on that.
So there's a lot of custody drama going on with the Chrisleys because Khloé's biological mom has entered the chat. So do you know who Chloe is? Mm-mm. Okay, so the Chrisleys have a bunch of kids, and their oldest son has a daughter. Her name is Chloe. And for the last couple of years, Todd and Julie have been raising her. The mother has like really never been in the picture, but now she's wanting in because Todd and Julie are going to prison. So prison-bound Todd Chrisley emphasized that his adopted daughter, oh, so they adopted her. His adopted daughter, Chloe's biological mother, surrendered her rights to the 10-year-old and should not regain custody. He said, "It's ironic that her biological mother would come forward now that she has not been in her life since 2015 and Angela Johnson surrendered her parental rights in March of 2017 and we never heard from her again." He said that on a podcast. The former Chrisley Knows Best star explained that he and his wife, Julie Chrisley, legally adopted Chloe. So it's up to them to decide who gets custody of Chloe after they begin their collective 19-year prison sentences. He continued, "We're not going to discuss who that's going to be because we don't owe that to the world and that's our private matter. At the end of the day, Chloe's family is who Chloe has been raised with. Her life is going to be as unaltered as it is, as it possibly can be, on what Julie and I have the ability to control." Todd continued to go off on Johnson for legally giving up her parental rights to the child, asserting that she has no more rights to Chloe than a stranger on the street does. Angela Johnson literally surrendered her rights to the child. She did this in front of a judge. The judge explained to her, "You understand what you're doing. You understand that you're surrendering the rights to your child." Todd recalled, adding that Johnson denied in court that anyone promised her anything financial, nor had anyone threatened her. Just so the record is very, very clear, Angela Johnson has no rights to Chloe. Her rights were terminated. She has been legally adopted. But ever since the sentencing came out, she now wants custody back. But like, who will get custody of Chloe?
What about the dad?
He's troubled. Mm. Their eldest son was on the show in the beginning, then went MIA. He's definitely troubled. I think he struggles with like some substance abuse.
Do you think that the Chrisleys could serve separately since they are parents, technically?
I mean, technically they can, but then they'll never see each other again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Savannah is somewhat of age. Chase is somewhat of age. And their eldest daughter, who has children, probably sounds like the best option. But, like, she has a very complicated relationship with the family. Yeah. She's, like, spoken out about them, and then they were on good terms, and then she's spoken out again. So she seems like the perfect person, because she actually seems like she has her head screwed on straight. But I don't know. Like, what do you do with Chloe?
I don't know.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Hopefully, like, someone... I mean, it sounds like her mom is stepping up, but it's not that easy.
No, like, and I don't even know if I would like feel good about leaving, even if it is her biological mom, but like she literally gave her up.
Yeah. How old is Chloe again?
She's mad cute. She is, I think, 10.
Damn. 10 Hopefully like one of her siblings or like half siblings, you know.
Yeah. I think Chase, if I recall, I think maybe he's engaged. So like someone who's like settling down. Savannah is settled. I think there's like a decent amount of options, but they're young. Yeah. Lindsay, the daughter, is the best option, but I don't know what her relationship is currently like because
who lives the closest to the Chris, like where the Chrisleys live? That way they she doesn't Chloe have to could, like go to same school and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. This is really sad. The Chrisley thing, like the more I think about it, is like so crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's like a really long sentence for a nonviolent crime.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Our fourth story is crazy.
Is it the crazy fourth story that's brought to you by Origins?
It is. That's such a weird coincidence.
I know. Well, that's because Origins is the pioneering nature-infused skincare brand that has elevated gift sets that will surprise and delight everyone on your holiday shopping list. They will surprise and delight.
Delightfully talented.
Origins creates transformative skincare with naturally derived ingredients to noticeably improve how skin looks and feels. Origins has a history of commitment to our planet by reducing waste and caring for our natural resources. All of Origins' holiday gift card sets are plastic-free, recyclable, and sourced from responsibly managed forests. And for every tree harvested, new trees are planted. To date, the brand has planted over 2 million trees around the world. So you can feel good about the gifts you are giving this season from Origins. You're giving the gift of trees as well as the gift of wonderful skincare, of course.
As Gia Giudice once said, it's a season of joy.
It's a season of trees. Cool. Origins has amazing, amazing sets that you can get.
They do.
Do you want to hear about them?
I would love to.
They have the best seller set, which is the Fantastic Favorites, 6 best-selling essentials from cleanser to moisturizer, size to go wherever the holiday takes you, which is like, is it going to take you to your sister's house?
It might.
It fucking should.
It should.
I'm sorry.
So you can stuff those stockings with Origins.
It freaking should. They have the Mask This Way, which is a 5-mask starter kit. Mm. The Masked Starter, similar to the Masked Singer, but it's similar. Just for using in your bedroom around the holidays and bringing 72-hour hydration. Mm. Then they have All for Youth, which is a plantscription essentials to cleanse and pump. Stunning. And they have their all-time essentials, which are their favorites to brighten, refine, renew, and rejuvenate. Get Origins gift sets today, available at origins.com.
Stunning.
Also, I have to let you know that today's episode is also brought to you by Diff Eyewear.
Now, oh, stunning.
Some people ask me how I can be so positive all the time, and it's because I'm blocking out the haters with Diff Eyewear.
No, for me, like, I'm blocking out toxins. I'm blocking out toxic people. I'm blocking out negativity. I'm blocking out haters. And I'm doing it with Diff Eyewear, which is stunning, well-made, and affordable, stunning sunglasses, and just eyewear in general.
I love a little luxe touch in my life. And Diff, so Moira.
You're literally Moira Rose.
Should Moira Rose do the Diff Eyewear?
You're doing Moira Rose at Herblinger. You're like,
I love a little luxe touch in my life. And Diff Eyewear helps hit that spot. Whenever I want to embrace some seriously deluxe celeb energy, I pop on a pair of sunnies from Diff's luxury Iconica line. The Iconica collection is super elevated, all premium and total modern luxury vibe. Featuring 6 styles in multiple colorways, these details are the definition of contemporary chic.
I just got a bunch for my trip to Belize and they're so Belize.
Yeah, I'm going on vacation and I'm bringing my Diff Eyewears with me because you know what? I don't want more wrinkles like no. When I'm just like blocking out the sun.
No, I'm going to be
Let's talk about the number one hater, the sun.
I'm going to be outside all day. We have like a booze cruise. We have like a million things planned and I just want to have like glasses that I can... Like, they're durable. Like, I don't have to be so concerned about them.
You can jump
like,
in the water.
You can jump in the water. Exactly.
Yep. The holiday shipping cutoff is only a few days away, but there's still time to shop for chic shades for everyone on your list. Best of all, only on The Toast can you score an extra $10 off right now. Amazing. This is an Iconica-worthy exclusive offer just for our loyal toasters, of course. Use code TOAST at checkout now for an additional $10 off your offer. $10 off your order. So hurry on over to diffeyewear.com to wrap up your luxe holiday shopping. And again, you get $10 off with code TOAST. Or you can even gift yourself a little something Iconica for 50% off. And don't forget to visit diffeyewear.com/toast for a chance to win $1,000 cash and Diff Sunnies for a year. Damn.
Okay. So earlier in the week, we were talking about the crazy news that Janelle from Sister Wives left family.
Yes, we were.
And then yesterday... Mary Brown confirms her 32-year marriage to Cody is over. She says he made the decision. It's over for Mary and Cody Brown. In People's exclusive look at the first Sister Wives one-on-one episode airing Sunday, Mary confirms that her 32-year marriage to Cody 53 has ended. During her conversation with host Sukanya Krishnan, Mary watches a clip of Cody saying he doesn't consider himself married to her. He said, if she wanted to move on and marry another, she wouldn't get an argument with me, he tells cameras in a confessional. Sukanya then asks Mary how it makes her feel to hear those words from her husband. She said, it just doesn't make sense to me that he would be so frustrated with Christine and be like, she made this decision. We didn't consult. We didn't talk. She just made the decision to leave. And then he says, no, I don't consider myself married to Mary. Like, he just made the decision. I've never heard him say that to me. Christine and Cody announced their split in November of 2021. So there's a lot of interesting things going on here. The first is that there's only one wife left. And I literally...
Last wife standing.
And I feel like every time we talk about them, I say how he's totally in love with Robin. And it feels like everything he's done in this last year... has been to just be alone with Robin, the crazy COVID protocols, like pushing people away, pushing Mary away. And Mary, like he was, you know that he had to legally, Mary was his first wife. And I always say whenever I'm talking about them, like she's the most desperate. And he was the only one who he was legally married to. Like they were married in faith to the others, but you can only be married to one person in this country. And he divorced Mary so that he could legally marry Robin, the new one. So it was like, he's just like time after time treated Mary so poorly. Mary also went through this like weird scandal where she was like catfishing someone. Like she was a unique girl. She was going through a lot. So after all of that, he's still the one divorcing her or like leaving her because they weren't even technically married.
Yeah.
And now he's alone with Robin, which is all that he wanted. And my question is, where do we go from here on the show? Sister wife?
Maybe, I mean, it sounds to me like this man can't be happy with one woman. So he's going to get sick of Robin. He's going to have a new... hot thing.
Yeah.
Then the cycle begins again. Robin will be the new Mary.
Robin will do. That's so well put. Also, I don't watch anymore, but this most recent season, like apparently he was awful to her, like saying the most mean things about her in his confessionals to the other wives. And so I think a lot of people saw this divorce and was like, oh good. She saw what he said this season and left. Like she still didn't leave. He left her.
Oh my God.
Like, it's so, sorry, it's pathetic.
Yeah. But and regardless, she's out.
Everyone's out.
Force her.
What's so crazy, though, is that, like, they're this big blended family. They have a million kids. And, like, them breaking up, like, because they're not legally married, like, all the women, like, it literally takes a day. Like, marriages end in years because of divorce. And
but they already went through the divorce.
Right. And, like,
when they liked each other.
I don't know how you split up a house or anything like that when you're not legally married. And he's not legally married to any of them now except for Robin.
It's whoever's name the house is in.
I bet it's in his. He's a prick. Hmm. It's just, it's an interesting type of divorce when literally none of these people are actually married.
I'm sure that's what will be on the show.
Oh, I would like to see a show with the new ladies, like readjusting to normal life. I wonder if they're going to enter into, like, obviously they're going to date and stuff, but do they plan on entering into polygamous marriages again? Like, I wonder what their POV on this experience was. Like, would recommend or would not recommend?
Depends on the man.
Cody is the man, and I don't think anyone would ever want to be married to him ever again. I just can't believe, like, I started watching Sister Wives in high school, and the second I saw Robin, I knew. I hate to be right, you know? It's like the time I saw Little Mix perform, and I literally said, they're going to break up, and it's going to be Jesse's
stories.
Added to my list of stories, because I saw them perform in, like, a really small, intimate concert. I was like, an intern, and I literally said it to you. I said, Jesse's going to be the problem, and this band is going to break up, and that's exactly what happened. Sometimes I'm clairvoyant, and then sometimes I'm totally off.
Totally. Where's the story? Claudia's repeated stories. There,
Little Mix. That's definitely one of them.
Oh my God. There's so many. Look how many there are.
If there's so many, maybe there are none. Because how can I be so, like, repetitive?
A thousand stories.
Sorry, I'm a storyteller. It's what I do for a living.
I'm a storyteller.
Our fifth and final story is some casting news, because Where the Crawdads Sing star Daisy Edgar Jones has been cast to play Carole King in the adaptation of the Broadway play about Carole King called Beautiful. Mm. And people are, like, a little, like, upset about it. So Daisy Edgar Jones is going from Where the Crawdads Sing to singing as Carole King. That is a mouthful. The actress, who's 24, oh my God, I don't know why I thought she was older, has been cast to play Carole King in an upcoming film adaptation of the Broadway musical Beautiful from Sony. Variety reported Thursday. It'll be directed by Lisa Cholodenko, who made the 2010 movie Kids Are All Right. So people are upset because Daisy Edgar Jones is not Jewish. And Carole King is, like, notably Jewish.
Is she? I didn't know she was Jewish, but I also, like, don't know her.
By the way, took the words right out of my mouth. Like, I believe that she's Jewish, and I believe she's, like, an iconic Jewish woman. When I tell you, I have literally no idea who she is. Like,
there's that song. You gotta get from the commercials. Like, I don't know it well enough.
No, the one that I think I know is, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think Taylor Swift performed at her Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony and sang, "Will you still love me tomorrow?"
That sounds like Carole King from what I've seen from the commercials.
Lame piano vibes.
No, it's like, "You gotta get on off of your feet." That's the one.
Okay, you
That's
know what?
Literally all I know.
Carole King songs.
I'll go to Spotify.
Like, what does she sing? That's an amazing question.
Maybe then.
"You've got a friend in me." Okay, also, "Where You Lead." I think that's the one I just sang by Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Oh no,
you gotta the one get I just sang on off is, your, or is that "Get on Your Feet"?
"Will You Love Me Tomorrow?" That's the one that Taylor sang. I think she's also really famous as being a songwriter, not even a performer, because she wrote Chains, which is a Fleetwood Mac song.
Got it. Okay, the song that I'm singing is "I Feel the Earth
Move." And that's from the Beautiful commercials for the play.
Yeah, and then you gotta get on off your, that's from that.
Yeah. So she's definitely a legend. She's just not anything like that we're super familiar
and
with.
And so even though I typically am like a Jewess, should play a Jewess, considering I did not know she was a Jewess, I can't be that mad.
Considering she didn't know she was a Jewess, I don't fucking care. How about that?
But now my thing is, do they fucking look alike?
No. Well, actually, what did a young Carole King look like? The thing is, it's like, I want to know who is managing Daisy Edgar Jones, and I would like to become a client of theirs, because she's undeniably talented, but I feel like she popped on the scene and she got, like, 3 times in a row, like, the most sought after roles. She got Normal People, which, mm-hmm. like, the book had such a cult following. Then she got Crawdads. The book had such a cult following. Now she got Beautiful Carole King, which is definitely, like, a really prestigious role. Definitely a role a lot of people want, especially actors.
I could see it.
I could see it, especially girls who sing. So I just feel like...
Does she sing?
Right. I don't know how she keeps getting these roles, but like, I need her manager.
I actually think she looks like her with like when she has a wig on.
I'm sure she'll do a great job. And I also just get confused because her name is Daisy Edgar Jones and she keeps playing the characters from books, but she's not playing Daisy Jones in the adaptation, correct?
Yes.
It's Riley
Keough. And we actually just got the first trailer for Daisy Jones and the Six. Did you see it?
No, we also got a trailer for Barbie. Officially.
I didn't see it.
It just came out today, but I hate making a story a trailer.
Yeah, no, I know. But Daisy Jones and the Six is like on its way.
Yeah. It's a TV show though, not a movie, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were talking about that at book club, like things that have been adapted into movies, like how they take so long. Because we have It Ends With Us, take longer. We have It Happened One Summer. Oh, we were talking about Eliza Starts a Rumor at my book club because it's really the perfect. Just got picked up for a show on Peacock, which I actually think it's the perfect book for a TV show.
Agreed.
But these things take so long.
Yeah. Reese gets them out pretty quickly, though.
Reese is a machine.
Yeah.
Machine. I don't want to end the episode like it's over. Those were the Fast Five.
I know. I could share some more of my thoughts about Harry and Meghan because I only talked about the part where they left, but I just saw when I was looking at my notes for your stories that I had more notes about the show, which was that they started to say that the brothers' offices split up right before Christmas. Like they had a Christmas party planned and that day it turned into two parties because that day the office split. But why did their household split right before Christmas? Like, what happened between the brothers?
We need context.
Like this episode, this whole show alludes to the fact that like something must have happened with the brothers because they say they lied.
It's like a tell-all where they tell nothing.
Right.
That's even emblematic of that story we wrote. Here's this text, but it doesn't say what the text is.
Also, like, the weirdest thing that you're going to find so crazy. So Meghan was getting like a lot of really bad press and she was really struggling and her friends were really worried about her. So five of her friends went to People magazine and did like a whole interview tell-all about like how amazing Meghan is. It wound up coming to bite her in the ass during the Daily Mail thing.
I could have told you that.
No, like when it came out, it was fine, whatever.
No, that's like cringe.
It was so cringe. I don't know if they even told her they were doing it. I imagine that they did because like if she found out.
You can't fuck around like that with a princess.
You can't fuck around like that. But then in the Daily Mail suit, it became a problem because in that article, they talked about that she wrote a letter to her dad. Mm. And that just became like some sort of like press thing. Like making it like public.
Right, right, right.
Oh my God. But I was like, these fucking friends. Like, how is that going to help anything?
You know what I did wonder? I wondered what their relationship, and I'm curious if they mentioned it, is like now with Eugenie and Jack. Because I felt like they were really close.
They never mentioned them.
I'm curious. Especially at the beginning, I feel like they really helped them. Like,
I'm curious too. And I feel like they have a lot of mutual friends mm-hmm. and like this to do the same stuff. And I feel like they could be friends.
Eugenie and Jack's level of like royal is exactly what Harry and Meghan needed. And I feel like
where
they should have
royals, but they also live in the real world.
No, and they get invited to like all the cool stuff, but they don't have to like do a lot of the bullshit. And like they very much can operate like in regular society. And I feel like that's actually like an ideal. And I think like growing up, they probably felt like, you know, like ugly stepsisters. They were like the cousins who like didn't get to come to this and this. And now that they like have kids, it's like it's so much more normal. It's still far from normal, but like it's more balanced.
Yeah. I wonder if they can still be friends, even though like, you know, Eugenie is still tied to
working,
the crown.
Yeah.
No, and it's like you insulted Gran. Yeah. You made Gran's a few last years hard.
Tough. No, I think they all probably feel very defensive of Gran.
Team Gran.
Yeah. But Eugenie's like fabulous. I actually really like her.
Yeah. Same. The two sisters.
Yeah. What's the other one's name?
Beatrice.
Beatrice. Actually, which one do I think... I get them confused. They look exactly alike.
I think they look nothing alike.
No, they're twins. They're literally crazy. Twins. Except the crazy thing about them is that their dad is Prince Andrew. Like, we just don't talk about that, you know?
Yeah. But, like, they didn't do it.
No. 100%. So the episode is not over. If you're listening as a podcast, enjoy our interview with Olivia Culpo. And if you're watching That's on YouTube, true. Just head over to our channel and it's right underneath this video.
Any final words for the year? Oh, you know what? Meghan, in the documentary, talks about how each year she like has a word for her year.
Okay.
And like one year it was truth and then it was peace.
Okay.
What's your word for 23?
I feel like this was, for 23.
Yeah.
I thought we should give our year a word.
No, it's like an aspirational for 23, but you could sum up 22.
Because I would sum up 22 as growth.
Oh, I have a good, that's good.
Because I feel like I'm actually, like the person I am now is actually quite different than the person I was at the beginning of the year.
I like that.
Okay.
My word for 22 would be roots.
Roots. Bloom where you planted.
I'm putting down roots.
I like that. Like physically, emotionally. Yeah. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
And then for 2023, what do we want our word to be?
Like, yeah. What are we aspiring towards? What are we looking to bring in?
That's a good question. It's a hard question. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know if I continued growth. Well, this has been a great year for the toast. We couldn't have done it without all the listeners. Everyone who watches on YouTube or listens as a podcast, follows us on Instagram, we really appreciate your continued support. We hope the toast has been an important part of your year, whether you just listen to it while you get ready, on your walks, on your way to work, or it's something you really look forward to when you get home. Whatever it is, we loved being a part of your year. We loved having you be a part of our year. The show would be absolutely nothing without you. We love all you guys, and we hope you have an amazing break. Everyone, whatever days you're taking off, enjoy them, relax, find
enjoy,
peace.
You deserve it.
Be with your family, have a couple cocktails, just reset, rejuvenate for the new year. We love you.
We love you. Thank you all for being toasters and for watching along with us for the great episodes, the good episodes, and the sprinkle of
bad ones.
I can't even think of a bad one, but some are just less good than others. Of course. You know?
So for the last...
I really can't think of a bad one, but I'm sure you guys can.
So for the last time this year...
Oh, no. Trice, don't let her do it.
Thank you so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Video, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, smart, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing New Year, amazing Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. We love you dearly.
Love you, Dern. And if you're already feeling sad that this show is ending, head over to patreon.com/thetoast. If you subscribe today, you'll have enough episodes that it, literally if you started right now and you watch them all, it'll get still you to the new year. And you'll get the new episodes when they drop next week.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. We'll see you next year. See you in a year. Goodbye, Streisands. Goodbye. Goodbibbity bye.
And that's a wrap. Toast 2022.
We did it.
Woo. Congratulations, class of 2022. We did it.
Streisand.
I promise I didn't know he was Streisand. I would have noticed a gold wedding band, Streisand. I'd rather you hate me than not understand. Oh, Streisand. Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, we're done.
We're done.
And you know what?
You're done.
Welcome back to The Toast, the final episode of the year, being made even more special as if it wasn't special enough. We are joined by, honestly, someone who's had such an impact on this show. You recognize me? It is the one, the only Olivia Culpo. Welcome to the show, Olivia.
Oh my gosh, thank you guys. First of all, I can't believe that I've had an impact on this show. I told everybody that I was doing this and they were peeing their pants. Everybody adores you guys. So thank you for having me. And I adore you obviously personally, but.
No, but we're so excited. I can't believe we haven't had you on the show yet, but I do feel like now is the perfect time. You have so much going on. We have spoken about your new show a lot here at The Toast because I'm obsessed with it. And I don't just say that like to be up your butt and stuff. Like, I think it's such a wonderful, joyful, positive show that the world needs more of. And I think that you and your sisters are such great role models as individuals, but also like your sisterly bond. We are obsessed with sisters and being sisters and watching you and yours. I feel like I know what your answer is going to be because I work with my sisters, but what is it like working with your sisters in such an official capacity now?
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine you guys. You've been doing it for so much longer. It's really hard. Like, it's hard. It's equal parts hard, but equal parts rewarding. Obviously, there's no love that you have with, you know, anybody else in the world that's like the love you have for your sister. You would die for them, but equal parts, you're going to call them out on every single piece of bullshit that they throw your way. It's like, it really is both bad and good.
And how are they like, this is not so new for you. Like, you've been around the block. You've been around for a long time. And I feel like being on TV is a level up. And for your sisters, I feel like it's much more of a jump. How are they dealing with it? Because people can be like, you know, when you open up your lives, you're opening yourself up to like some really awful people saying awful things about you and your sisters. How are they dealing with it?
I think they're good at it, honestly. They're good at being the bullshit. I think that it's because we're insulated by each other in a lot of ways, because it's not even just us. We also have my two brothers and my parents. Like, we're one of five, so there's they help as well. Like, there's really no rock bottom when you know at least you're going to have each other at the end. So when you are dealing with the bullshit, when people are being horrible because they feel horrible themselves, you just have to remember and keep that in mind. And we help each other. And you guys know, because you face it too. You've been doing this for so long. It's like some days you wake up and you can take on the world, and other days you wake up and somebody can tell you that like you have a dead end on your hair and you like want to cry. You know?
No, so it's so
really
true.
It depends on the day. I know. So the three of us, and I'm sure it's the same with you guys, like every day somebody's having a good day or a bad day, and the person having a good day will lift up the others. And it really is like that, this weird cycle of I'll call my sister and I'll be in a really bad place about some things that I'm reading or doing or not getting, and she'll be in a really good place and she'll remind me of the truth. And then other times she'll be in the dark and I'll remind her of the truth, which is just that, you know, you have to just be happy to be here and doing what you have set out to do. And like, it's like the man in the arena quote. I have it on the back of my phone, but Roosevelt quote. But also in general, it's like if you can't handle the heat, you have to get out of the kitchen, and you have to remember that at the end of the day, it's a privilege to be able to take chances in the way that we are in any capacity, and you should just be proud of that and really try to think about that. And the haters are gonna hate no matter what.
That's a really good way of looking at it.
You have had such an amazing career. I feel like sometimes we have to remind ourselves that you came from Miss USA to start, and then you've been an influencer for so many years and an actress. And even though you, for the last few years, have been sharing your life on Instagram, and I feel like we get to know you so well, now being on a reality show, you are sharing so much more. How has that transition been for you to open up yourself like that?
It's been challenging, but mostly challenging because I have a lot of, well, for the people in my life who are not who don't want to be on a reality show, like my boyfriend, for example, like things like that have been challenging because I don't want to exploit the privacy of people that I care about by when I'm sharing my point of view. So just walking that very fine line. But as far as myself, I am an open book, and I think this has been an opportunity that has scared me because of the vulnerability involved in it, and having to take everything up a level in the storytelling of my life. But I like that. I actually feel like I've always been an open book in that way. And I have to say I enjoy it. It's scary.
We enjoy it too. And I feel like when you think about like your favorite influencer and thinking about them being on a reality show, oftentimes it would wind up being disappointing. But your life and your family life, and I feel like your interior life too, it's not just entertaining, but it's really like, I don't know how to describe it other than like joyful and real. Like, that's how real sisters are with each other. Like, you guys are so hardworking, but you also know how to have fun and, like, enjoy all of the things that you've earned for yourselves.
Thanks. I feel like that's a very, very, very nice compliment. And where I came from is so different from my life now. I mean, I'm sure for everyone it is, right? But it's cool to be able to share people. It's cool to be able to share that with people, especially my parents. They're just so out of this world.
They're so sweet.
They're really
sweet. I love when they're on the show. They give like really great advice, and also they offer such a great perspective because it's like this really grounding, these two really grounding people who like come into your LA world and kind of you realize how it's so dissimilar to the real world for some people. But I think having them there it's a perfect formula.
I know, it's true. They really are grounding. They will humble you very quickly. They always have a way of reframing everything to make you feel like, oh yeah, this really isn't a big deal. Like, my problems are not as big as I think they are. And it's helpful. It is.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad you brought up your boyfriend, because I don't know if you know, like, a fun fact about the toast is that we fully support the 49ers, and that's because Kyle Juszczyk and his wife are toasters, and we just, like, love to see toasters out on the field doing their thing. And now that your man's plays for the 49ers and, like, you're spending a lot of time in San Fran, it's just, it's so much better. Like, it's fabulous. And I want to know, like, what your thoughts are on San Fran. I know it's easier for you to get there now from LA.
Yeah, I love that you use the word fabulous. Football is fabulous.
It's fabulous. Football is fabulous. It is.
I know. I have to say I love it. I love the 49ers. I love the Bang Bang Niner gang. It's fun being on a team that's winning, I have to say. I mean,
so true.
Yeah. Winning is better than losing, and they've been doing that lately. So I'm so grateful. I'm so, so happy. And the flight. The flight is so much easier for me. The weather's easier.
Right.
Everything about it is easier. People lately have been like, you look so, like, rested and something different about you. It's like, oh, yeah, because I'm not getting on a 5.5-hour flight every week to go to Charlotte. That truly took years off my life. Like, I had to do that for 3 years. I love Charlotte dearly, and I love everybody there so much. But that 5.5 hours, it's so bad.
That's love.
I know.
That's
and
love.
When you get there, your whole day is gone. Like, I would leave at 8, and I would get there at, like, 4 because of the time change.
Yeah, because when you fly west to east, it sucks. You, like, lose your whole day.
You lose the whole day. I would leave my house when it's dark out, and I would get there when it's dark. So that sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New beginnings.
Do you feel like the reception to the show and, like, how well everyone is, like, loving it is going to make some of the more reticent people in your life, or even, like, maybe people that you work with, feel more comfortable joining the show? I feel like we always hear that about, like, Real Housewives, how, like, in the beginning they weren't allowed to film here or there, but then, like, once you see how much support it has and how beloved it is now, like, everybody wants in on it.
I know, that's so true. I absolutely think so. I think my boyfriend's mom will want to be on it. That would be really funny. My boyfriend will.
Your
come
content
around.
With her is so premium.
Oh my God. One of the craziest things about you is that you so quarantined funny. With your boyfriend's family for like 100 days, right? With your sister. And that that there wasn't a murder. And I think that's amazing.
It's huge.
There wasn't a murder. That was an interesting time, to be honest with you. There was a lot of surviving. Not thriving. Right. But no, I love them. We got so close. I feel like if you can go through a pandemic with someone, you can get through anything. Like going to the grocery store and feeling like, okay, that's it. I'm going to die now. Like literally, remember going out and just being like, this is really fucking scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, your content with your boyfriend's mom is so premium. And I feel like not a lot of people have that. So it's really nice.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, she's a character. I feel like she would be the star of the show. So I would love to see her.
Totally.
I would love to see more of Christian. I think that maybe, I agree. Everybody was really scared at the beginning when this show was about to come out. And I was so grateful that they actually had, they were pleasantly surprised. That doesn't always happen. And I don't see the episodes before they air. So I have no idea what's going to get out there and how it's going to be portrayed. And they could spin things in a bunch of different ways. So anyway, it was overall a good experience. And I definitely think that if there are enough, maybe I can even get, you know, some of the other 49ers on the show, imagine.
I feel like, do you know Kristen Juszczyk? I feel like she would love it.
Maybe.
She would love it.
Right? I think so.
The toast brings people together, so we could arrange it, honestly.
It really, 100%.
But we would obviously have to be there. Like, we would want to be on the show, too, you know?
You
like,
guys, you have
like
to
we
be
arranged
on the
this
show.
Meeting.
People
would get their brand. Wait, can I ask you a question, like, more in general about your career? I feel like it's been so interesting to follow. Like Jackie said, I feel like a lot of people don't even remember that you really got your start and your platform from the pageant circuit, and then you got more into influencing and now reality star. And I feel like I remember a shift in your content a few years ago where you were really actively including your sisters in your content. And of course, we loved it because we found it so relatable. And I'm curious if that was like a conscious decision for you, or it was just like naturally, like, I'm with my sister, so I might as well make them film with me.
That's a good question.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, I should probably include them. My extras in the back. I'm just kidding.
Literally.
It was 100% organic. So my older sister, Aurora, she actually was private until like 3 or 4 years ago. So at that point, before that point, there was actually a lot of tension between us because she thought that what I was doing was based senseless and vain and vapid, and she was going through this whole like yogi guru, I don't know, this weird Buddha phase. Yeah, you know, like one of those. And she was like, my sister only wears crop tops, and she's so into herself, and all she does is take pictures. It's like, okay, well, anyway, she gets it now. It's not just taking pictures. It's, you know,
of
building
course.
A relationship with people, and you guys understand that whole situation. But so I ended up, when she got the stick out of her ass, I started doing more content around her, and like I would just be more comfortable. So then she was in the content, and then with my younger sister, she was in college not that long ago. So I was living in LA, she was living in Boston at college, and then when she finally got out of college, she moved in with me. So that was around the same time. So it all kind of happened very organically, because we've always been equally close. We've always been, I've always considered them to be like my best friends in the world. Mm-hmm. But I think, I guess in some ways Instagram has brought us together because we were all having so much fun sharing with people. Because like if one of them were like, I don't want to be on your Instagram, then I don't know if, you know, this obviously wouldn't have happened the way that it did, but we ended up having a ton of fun together and just being, I don't know, stupid on social media.
I kind of would have loved to see the show, though, like back when Aurora, you said, your words, not mine, had the stick up her ass. Like, I think that would have been hilarious.
I know, like, every time I would go over, she'd be like, oh my God, you're in another crop top? Why are you in another crop top? And now all she wears is crop tops. That's one example of when she has the stick up her ass era, which she might not admit it. But she will. She should.
Not her launching a war on crop tops, even though I fully support that movement. I'm so over crop tops. Like, some of us have big tits. We can't just wear crop tops, you know?
Right. Like, you have a perfect ass and you're wearing a crop top? Get out of here.
Right.
I don't have a perfect ass, by the way, so.
Some of us have jugs. Like, we can't just be walking around in a bra, you know? Fine. The show is really so good. I feel like this has been, like, a great era for you, and it's just nice to see, like, we've met you. Actually, we have, like, a running joke on the toast. The first time we met you, what year was it, Jackie, at Coachella?
It was Coachella. It was our first time, maybe. So maybe that was 2017, Claude.
And we met at the porta potties, right?
We did.
Classic us. So on brand. And we obviously were, like, loved your Instagram and we loved you. And you came over and said hi. And we walked away and we were like, Jackie, like, she came up to you. Like,
we're like, she recognize me.
You and we just kept saying it on the show, and now it's like a running joke on the show. You recognize me.
Oh my
god. And it started with you.
That's
and
so
it started
funny
with you.
I remember that day. I remember the shirt I was wearing. That's so weird. Coachella.
I remember the shirt I was wearing too.
Are you still on the Coachella train, or are you over it?
Honestly, I never really fully got on the train. But it gives me a lot of anxiety. I like to do puzzles, like, at my house. I'm that kind of a person.
I love
and,
puzzles.
You know, I know, I am such a homebody, but when I'm there, I have fun. But it's, like, the leading up to it where I fear a lot. Like, I fear the hangovers. I fear the walking. I fear the
walking.
Potential hitchhiking that I'll have to do to leave. You know. Like, you just never
so
know.
True.
But I don't know. I like it. I like it. I'm trying to like it more so that I can appear and feel cooler. But
it's also like an important part of your job.
Yeah. And I have to say, I brought my sisters this last year, and it was the best Coachella I've ever had. So that is also the other part of having them around that I really like. It's like a security blanket. I like having them with me wherever I go. And that's another reason why we did the show together. I love being with them. It's my favorite. They're my favorite people to be with, besides my dog.
We actually just had that conversation on the toast yesterday, talking about how, like, we have the privilege of, like, going to, like, events and stuff, and our plus ones being other influencers who are also our sisters. And it almost feels like you cheat the system when you don't have to go to those events alone and, like, those events can be so awkward when everyone's there by themselves and you're just like, hi, I'm Claudia. Like, it's painful. So being able to have, like, a built-in plus one who's also very much, like, in the scene and in the industry is, like, I feel like I'm cheating.
I know, we are kind of cheating. But why?
I know.
I don't know. I've gone to so many events that have, like, ruined events for me because people have been rude. And I just, and then you,
of course.
And then you're scared. You're scared. They ruined it. So maybe.
Yeah, no, it's like intimidating. Totally.
Yeah, that's a good takeaway in general.
Be nice. And I think the most relatable storyline on the show is the stealing of clothing.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Like speaking like
we,
to ourselves.
As sisters, we actually don't fight. We really don't fight for sisters. Like, it's crazy. That's the only thing that, like, gets us so fired up. It's so crazy. What is it about stealing clothes?
For me, I would let them borrow anything. It's the, first of all, ask.
Of course. Of course.
They don't ask. And then also, they, or if they wear something before I've worn it. Because that's
insane.
I have to wear it.
So
yeah,
taking
like,
shoes
was
insane.
Oh my, she's done the craziest shit. She's photoshopped photos so that I don't know that it's my bag.
That was crazy. She took a picture in Olivia's bag and she photoshopped it, but like it's clear that she got like it wasn't.
You know what? I respect the hustle, the creativity.
She's brazen.
She is creative. Well, you know what? The thing is, if she texted me, I would have absolutely let her wear it.
Of course.
It's just the lack of confrontations. Anybody listening who's like extremely non-confrontational would probably go that route, but you could just send a text.
Yeah.
You could.
No,
but why would you?
She's such a little sister. She actually reminds me of our little sister so much. And one thing I noticed on the show is I feel like when she's with you guys, she's like in little sister mode. And then when you see her in her scenes, like on her own and with her boyfriend, like she really like is a different person. And I feel like that's how I would describe our little sister. Like with us, she's just like constantly like getting picked on, and then she goes out into the world and it's like, who's that?
Yes, so true.
True. And then you feel bad because you feel like, oh, they don't want to be with me right now. Maybe that's because
I'm stifling them. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Truly, I know. I've noticed that too. And I do feel bad about that. But I agree. I feel like as somebody that's just her sister watching her life, it is very interesting. And she's in the thick of it. It's like the ugly part where she doesn't know what she's doing and why she's doing it. And she hasn't figured out her confidence is not there yet. You know, that takes so much time. And also she's doing so many new things. So I feel like I'm really excited to see where this all, how this all irons out for her. Because I know it's going to be really cool to watch. And I'm going to be proud of her. And to have it all on camera is cool because other people will be able to see a little bit of themselves in it. You're right. It is such a little sister thing.
She's the snitch.
Yeah, we call our little sister the snitch. And she's not that little either. She's like 26.
Yeah, every time we talk about her, people think we're talking about like an 8-year-old. And then we like show them a picture. They're like, that's literally a 25-year-old woman.
That's a grown-ass woman.
Well, they're bratty. Like the little sisters are bratty, right?
Yeah. Yes. And by the way, Olivia, we had Emma Chamberlain on our show. And Margot, our little sister, loves Emma Chamberlain. So when we wrapped the interview, we were like, Emma, like, our little sister is obsessed with you. Like, do you mind just like if she pops on the Zoom and says hi? And Emma was like, of course. And then she was actually expecting like a toddler to come out the way we were talking about her. And it's like Margot, who's at the time she was like 24. She was like wearing a blazer. And she's like,
she's like, she's taller than both of us.
That's so funny. Oh my God, I need to meet her.
You do. She's so funny. Literally, she's a giant. She's with a perfect body
compared to us.
So congrats on the show. It's so good. We love to see just like you thriving out there. We can't wait for season 2. And thank you for coming on The Toast. This is actually like a huge deal for us. Like a real, I feel full circle moment.
Totally. They say don't podcast with your heroes, but they're lying.
They do say that.
They never met Olivia Culpo. Ever.
I'm so proud of you guys being able to watch how big you've blown this thing up. I mean, that made no sense, but you've blown this shit up. You're still
thank
here.
You.
And this oh my is God, like thank
just
you.
Just the beginning. So I'm so very, nice. Very proud of you guys. I thank love you. Your podcast. I don't understand how you talk so fast, both of you.
I know.
But you, like, it's great.
It's something we're actively working on.
But the thing is, if we talked any slower, the episodes would be 2.5 hours instead of 1.5.
No, I'm genuinely, I love how fast you guys talk. It's a superpower.
Well, the good thing about podcasting is that you can make your speed like half, you could double it. So there's something for everyone.
Yeah, if it's really a problem.
I literally love it. It like gets me excited and it wakes me up. And it's more information in a smaller amount of time. Who doesn't
so
want
true.
That?
Right.
So true.
That's what we're trying to do.
Sorry, we're efficient. We're efficient. Like, sue us.
Yeah.
Thank you again so much for coming on. Everyone check out the Culpo Sisters show. It's so good. It's on TLC. And thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much. Bye, everyone.
This is our final episode. Wait, Olivia, before we let you go, our final episode of the year, we are going to have you make a toast with us. What are you toasting to in the new year?
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. I have to think about it. I have a wish jar that I usually write things in and put in. I really want to work on not bad mouthing. Like, I'm actually, all my friends are like, you never talk shit about anybody. But I want to be even better. I don't want to have any bad thoughts about anything and anyone. I want to minimize my negativity.
Could never be me. But I wish you the best of luck. And that sounds amazing. And you're better than all of us. But we already knew that. Thank you guys for an amazing year. We love you and we will see you in 2023.
We'll see you next year. Bye.
Bye.